Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Audrey, my back is killing me. I'm moving all these boxes.
You didn't chairs, have to move a thing.
Cabinets, chairs, maybe. All the stuff, the heavy plastic mats that your chair rolls on. Oh, God, I'm so tired from moving. You know, going into new office space, it's back-breaking work, man. Back-breaking work. But it's so well worth it. So pumped, Audrey. The Pittsburgh Technology Council, we've got some new space over in Nova Place. Couldn't be more excited.
Over, and this is a Pittsburgh thing.
It is.
Over in the old Allegheny Mall.
Allegheny Center.
That's a Pittsburgh thing.
Yes, the old Allegheny Center.
The first building that it was.
Yes.
Is the building that it will always be.
The mall.
Right?
Yeah.
And so here we are in the north side, and it is really north side, is it not?
It is
north shore.
It is north side, north shore. Right. It's like right in that blend line. You could say either way, and you'd probably get away with it. No one would argue.
Well, what's so exciting is that Farris Properties there has really put a lot of money and time into trying to repurpose and reinvigorate this old Allegheny Mall. So there is just a lot of activity going on. And it's growing. I mean, Oracle's moving in there. They have 200 people. Confluence is in there.
Exactly.
I believe that PNC still has some of their call center in there.
Big presence there.
Big presence, right?
Every time I'm at the Eco Bistro,
Alloy,
it's full
26.
Of PNC hoodies and stuff like that. Yep, Alloy 26
Alloy 26
there.
Has a whole bunch of shared space. But what's really cool is that with the Tech Council, we have renovated a space that I don't know what it used to be.
It was a photo hut.
There's a photo hut.
I believe so.
Mm-hmm. That entire space.
They found this
sun thing.
Big
I knew
logo.
That.
So they used to people would take your pictures there back in the day to be developed, and you would pick them up and then look at them.
Wow, that's funny.
And then order reprints. I'd like these in 9x12, please.
So we've taken that space, that photo hut space, and made it into new space for us. So first of all, we're no longer on the same side of a river.
Exactly.
Right? So we've changed that.
Yep.
We now are just inches from being able to walk downtown. We're inches from a new trail. And we're in a neighborhood that is another neighborhood that is going through the beginnings of a revitalization, a resurgence. But that neighborhood is one that has a lot of history.
Tons.
A lot of history. The oldest church in Pittsburgh.
It was Allegheny City at one point.
There. And it was Allegheny City at one point, which is really interesting. But what I like, and I just didn't realize this when we were down in South Oakland or Glenwood or whatever that neighborhood was
called. No one ever really knew where we were. I mean, I guess technically it was South Oakland, but it was also kind of Hazelwood, but also kind of, I don't know. It was like no man's land. The only way to describe it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was great if you could go and you just wanted to come and hang out with us for a while and then just sort of be there.
But we were isolated.
We were isolated. And I never realized how isolated, even though we're always connecting with people.
Exactly.
But I didn't realize, and I think now what we're seeing, because we've had a chance to be on the north side for the last couple of months, so we've gotten sort of used to the cadence over there.
Exactly.
What's very cool is that we are in a place that's going to be much more of a center.
Exactly.
A place where people can come, get connected.
Hang out.
I mean, Federal Galley is right. My view of Federal Galley is inches
literally
from my desk.
Our podcast room
is
inside. Right
it looks
into
like
it.
You're in Federal Galley.
Exactly.
Maybe you'll get fat for the first time.
I will not get fat, but I'll try.
But, and the thing is, so the vibe there is quite different than what the organization has been through in like almost 23, 24 years.
I feel like this is like the Pittsburgh Technology Council 2.0.
I think so too.
It's the vibe and the energy being in this new space. Mm-hmm. I just feel like we're more in the middle of everything. We are now have an open door. Like we want people to come in, learn about what's going on. If you're a member, come and hang out with us. Audrey, we have, and you've seen this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful co-working desk that we put in. It's got 8 seats all powered up, made of reclaimed barnwood. Beautifully made.
Right.
It's there. Work with me. It's like jump in, plug in, get work done, hang out, grab a cup of coffee.
Well, you know, the other thing is I really want us to be part of that neighborhood too.
Exactly. Right.
so that it sort of bleeds into that we're not just some aliens who have landed
exactly,
there
exactly.
and that we're doing some secret stuff, but we're trying to understand what is humming in that neighborhood.
In that neighborhood, exactly. Right.
And I know, you know, Allegheny General is, you know, increasing the mm-hmm. size of their space, and they're going through a renovation, and there's going to be a lot of cool things
Absolutely.
Happening there.
Mm-hmm.
But also the neighborhood. The neighborhood, East Ohio Street, is trying to rethink, you know, their own brand as well. And for
really,
the first time since I've lived here.
Yeah, no, it's, I've been slowly exploring East Ohio Street, like Arnold's.
Have you?
Arnold's Tea.
Arnold's Tea is great.
Subas.
Oh, Subas you went to, that's right.
Nepalese food. Oh, man, really, really good. This, I'm so excited to be part of this, where we can go out and be part of the community.
Right, and actually.
Yeah. It's
talk to people, ask them what's going on, let them know what we're working on, and being sort of part of the fabric of the North Side. I'm very excited about that.
We need to be like a man on the street on the North Side.
We should.
Or on East Ohio Street, just asking people what they know about tech in Pittsburgh. And maybe it's not a whole lot, and we can help change that.
I know.
And maybe it's more than we would ever know.
Right.
So this should be a fun experiment for us.
I think it would be awesome. And that's really what has jazzed me.
Yeah.
When we talk about the Tech Council 2.0.
Definitely.
It's a center. We're able to flex ourselves. We're able to partner with people in yep. our neighborhood.
I know. Exactly.
And did you see they renovated the city, gave a little bit of oomph to a park
they
close
did.
By?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
See?
They sunk a little money into that park there. It's quite lovely.
It's a good place to be, and I think we're going to just exponentially grow and reach more people and better connect by being in our new space in Nova.
And we're definitely going to eat more thanks to Federal Galley.
Eat a lot more at Federal Galley and the Eco Bistro and Subas. Because Subas is a short, short walk. And I tell you what, the biryani there, not too shabby. That's
well, there's a Hungarian restaurant.
There is.
That's like around the block. I'll
really?
Look for the name of that.
Okay.
There's like an authentic Hungarian restaurant.
Wow.
I know. Mm. Really want to go there.
No, I'm really thinking. Anyhow, it's
no, I love that it's all nested in there.
It is. It's so, so cool. So really,
oldest church in Pittsburgh.
Exactly.
Emmanuel Church. They do jazz vespers on Sunday nights.
They do. So it's exciting.
It's unending.
Times. It's exciting time.
We're going to do an Allegheny tour, walking tour.
We should do that and do the man on the street.
No, but we're going to do a walking tour. Someone's going to tell us.
And just go through and see all the major sites.
Yeah, someone's going to tell us the history there.
Well, I think while we do that, we should run into people and ask them what they know.
Well, why is it called the Mexican War Streets?
Probably goes back to naming them after people in the Mexican War. Mexican-American War.
I don't think that's wrong.
We're going to find out.
I think that's wrong.
Is it maybe? I don't know. We'll find out and we'll let you know. But anyhow, we got a great show lining up tonight. I swear. We have Joel Reed from Open Arc. No stranger to Tech Vibe Radio.
Oh, good friend of the Tech Council.
Talking about progressive web apps. Exciting stuff. It's like the two worlds, like native apps and websites all kind of coming together.
And they're working on virtual reality and augmented reality.
Yeah. We have a guy who I think has the coolest last name out there. Don DeRay.
DeRay, not...
It is like capital D, lowercase a, capital R, lowercase e. He runs Consensus Technologies. Talking about access and identity tonight. Very exciting stuff. And, of course, we have Connor's group stopping by as well. Jeff Pertin stopping by. Audrey, you're going to love this segment with him because it's all about the retail experience and how they're able to help. Really, really cool stuff. I can't wait. This is why we just love doing this show. What a cool variety of things happening here in Pittsburgh. We got new digs over in Nova Place. What's not to like on a Friday night in Pittsburgh?
It's great. Honored to be here.
Absolutely. Hey, learn more about the Tech Council by going to pghtech.org. We want to hang out with you. Simple as that. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
We'll be right back after this quick break. Nothing better than a Friday night, Audrey, and we are just starting to warm things up around here on Tech Vibe Radio, are we not?
We certainly are.
Yes, yes, yes. We have Don DeRay here from Consensus
Technology. I love his last name.
Yeah.
It's Italian.
What's the derivative? What's the derivative of that?
No idea.
It wasn't like a longer name?
No, I don't think so.
Wow, I like it.
DeRay. I like
it. Yeah,
it's like
came in from Italy.
D-A capital R-E.
Yes.
Yeah,
love
man.
It.
It's like boom and boom, like right to the point. Very cool stuff. Consensus Technologies, cool company you started up, about a decade or so ago?
Yeah, the company started in about 2006.
Yeah, that's crazy. So. Yeah. It's like 13 years later, like where'd the time go? You're probably assuming at this point. So tell our listeners, just give us the quick pitch. What is Consensus Technologies?
Well, Consensus Technologies, we started in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Gooseman and I started the company to focus on identity and access management.
Yeah.
We met each other back in the late 90s when we both worked for Novell. So
aha.
I'm dating myself
Novell,
there. Novell,
okay. You know who started there?
Ray Norda.
Eric Schmidt.
Absolutely.
Wait, Eric Schmidt, you're right.
Yes.
Oh, that's crazy, man.
And that's when I worked at Reynolds Metals. I remember we used Novell.
He left Sun Microsystems to be the CEO for
right,
about 4 years.
Four years,
Novell.
Right.
And that really went well.
Yes. They're not around anymore.
No, last time we checked, they're not.
They're right.
So you left Novell to start up a business around identity and access.
Yes.
And you've grown to be beyond those capabilities as well, too. What are some of the core things that Consensus does?
Well, we also added software development a couple of years ago to actually add on to the identity and access management practice because it was doing really well. And then we added a third practice, your local managed services and support.
Right. So we absolutely
added that.
And you got a nice diverse clientele as well, too. I think it's really interesting. You've got large and small businesses across different industry sectors. Tell us a little bit about your client base.
Sure. Well, we have 123 customers that we actually work with all the way from Hawaii, County of Maui.
Wait, from Hawaii?
All of our customers, absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
You have to go on site to visit to do installs.
To visit
Oh, absolutely.
Especially
man.
In February. Exactly. That's what we thought, Don. Yes.
we actually work for the county out there, and we've got customers. Most of our customers.
Sure
base,
they do.
education customers. We have a really good practice in education in K-12 and higher ed.
Oh, wow.
And that's what got you started, really. Education was kind of your first vertical that you really got into back in the day, right?
Yeah, absolutely. My business partner at the time was an academic director for sales at Novell. So actually, that's how we got started in that. I actually have an enterprise background.
Okay. Very cool. Very cool. So identity and access.
I know.
Let's
nerd
out on that.
Do you want to get scared?
Yeah.
You want to get scared.
Yeah, this is scary stuff.
It's automation. It really, all identity and access management is very simple automation of creating accounts. When somebody comes into an organization,
right.
whether let's use the K-12 example.
Okay.
When a student comes into
yeah.
the district, they're entered into the student information system.
Right.
And all identity and access management really does is make sure that when they're entered in that student information system, that their email account, their network account,
mm-hmm.
They're created in the grade book. And we automate all of that. So as soon as the student comes in for classes, they have their email, they have their network account, they get into the library. And all we do is automate that.
Gotcha.
And of course, when they graduate, the end of that cycle is to turn those accounts off so they don't have access anymore.
And you have to manage all spectrums of that because, like you said, you can't have that account open and running when they're no longer in school.
Right.
And when they're in there, it's got to be working as far as that
goes. In the corporate world, you know, you may get access to Office 365 or Salesforce.com. It's really expensive for those guys to keep those accounts around once they've they've left the company.
You only want to pay for the seats that you're using.
Absolutely.
Because, and I'm assuming as you go through that with a lot of your customers, they're probably experiencing a lot of savings because they're realizing that, wait a second, there's like five Microsoft accounts that are open that we don't need, and we're paying $500 a month for these things.
Yeah, we work with a food services company who's saved about $50,000 a year.
Whoa.
But as people come in and out of their organization, they're using Google apps for their email, and they have to archive those. So we switch the licenses once they leave the organization.
Ah.
They're entered in the HR system. They just change the account from terminated or retired, whatever that is.
Okay.
And then we automatically set the license type from a full account, giving them full access to just an archive license. So just doing something simple like that saved them a ton of money every year.
So any helpful hints? What about pearls of wisdom that you can share with some of our listeners?
Pearls of wisdom.
Pearls of wisdom. Yeah. Like some top tips.
Things that we should not take for granted. Things that we should be alert to.
Besides
reaching out to you.
Right. Well, people don't scale. So when it comes to even being audited or just that number of user accounts. So one of our customers actually has a problem with the students just managing all the student accounts. You may have 15, 20 accounts that you need for school. I know my kids have 5, 6, 7, 8. And the IT staff.
Why?
Because the teachers want them in Duolingo. They want them in.
The teachers want them in Duolingo.
Yeah, absolutely. My kid's in a German class right now. And I just got that email.
Do you hear that?
Really?
So you have all these accounts with all these usernames and passwords out there. Identity management can actually help you with synchronizing all your usernames, all your passwords, all these applications to make it very simple for you to log
in. I didn't realize you had the whole idea of synchronizing, because when you have all these multiple disparate accounts, it kind of brings it all together. So one login, you get into all your stuff without having
absolutely.
To remember
it all may
that.
Be multiple logins, but it's the same username, same password.
Gotcha. Very cool.
Yeah.
Wow. How much fun do you have?
How much fun do I have? I always have fun every day.
Do you?
Every day.
Well, you're solving
new
problems.
You feel like you're solving real problems here.
Absolutely.
Every day, right?
Absolutely. We solve all kinds of customers, make sure that the customer's secure by making sure that people have access. Not only do you have an account, but you have the right access within that application.
Keep people working and keep them productive.
Keep them out of things that they're not supposed to have.
Right.
Students don't get access to the gradebook system, for instance.
Now what fun is that?
Come on.
Jeez.
Stinks.
That's not fun.
Exactly.
That stinks. So if people are listening and they want to reach out to you, what kind of problems would they have that you think you could solve?
Well, we really run into two problems. One of them is auditing. We have customers.
Mm.
In 2008, when the banking collapse started happening,
right,
all the regulations came in. We really had an upswing in 2009 when some businesses were having problems.
That's
we actually
crazy.
Had a really good year that year because we went in and did all the auditing. For instance, here locally, not even a bank example, but another education example, we had one of our local large universities that I actually worked at. They had over 100,000 active accounts.
Jeez.
Out there. So we
okay.
were able to bring that down to their actual enrollment, which was 40,000 accounts, just
Whoa.
By going in and doing the audit, making sure that the right accounts were active.
So you were able to
mm-hmm.
streamline out 60,000 accounts.
Yes.
That's no messing around.
Right.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So you can work in any sector, right?
Absolutely. Any sector can use identity and access management. Back at when I worked at Novell, I actually went to WQED and did the identity management.
Oh, did you?
Okay, cool.
Back in the day. So
and
I've
so who do you work with inside an organization? Is it the director of IT? Is it chief information security officer?
Depending on the size of the organization,
yeah.
a director at a small school, but also the CISO is something we hit on all our corporate customers.
And so I would think publicly held companies would be pretty happy to know that you're inside their organization, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, keeping them safe and secure,
keeping
saving them money.
And secure.
Come on.
So,
what's not to like about that?
Mm-hmm.
So what's the craziest thing you've ever seen?
I have actually seen an HR person and a security person start a fight over the initial password.
Oh, my.
That's
pretty crazy.
And you
large
grump
company in New Jersey
separated them.
Yeah, with a crowbar?
I let the CISO actually make the decision, but
okay.
They were removed from the meeting, I guess.
Oh, wow.
Wow, isn't it funny how passionate people get?
Absolutely. When you're talking about people's data and
right.
you're going into HR, you have to go in and talk their talk and make them very comfortable
exactly.
that you're going to be using their data for good.
For sure. So people want to learn more about Consensus Technologies. Where can they go and learn about all your services, including identity management?
They can go to our website at
okay.
www.consensus.com.
Very cool. Just that simple. And congratulations
Thank
on
you.
Business well done there. Talk about in 2006, we're heading to 2019, and you guys are just growing.
Absolutely.
Customers in Hawaii. I love that. Yeah. That's just so cool.
That's just his vacation.
Yeah. that's him doing
Thank
some great
you so
work.
Much for being here.
No problem. Thank you.
Don Dre, you're making Pittsburgh proud. Very, very cool. Up there in Cranberry Township doing what you guys do. Hey, we have more Tech Vibe Radio coming your way, I swear. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Rousseau.
And we are from the Pittsburgh Technology Council. We have awesome companies like Consensus Technologies as our members. Find out how you can be a member as well by going to pghtech.org and fly on over to Twitter at pghtech. So glad you are here hanging out with us here on Tech Vibe Radio this Friday night. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Rousseau.
And Audrey, really cool guest. First time appearance.
Oh, wow. Drum
radio.
Roll.
Yeah, we're doing a
drum roll.
Ding.
Yes.
Jeff Periton from Connors. Jeff.
All right. Thanks for having me.
No, we're so psyched
yeah.
to have you here. You're working on some really cool stuff. Before we jumped on air, we're just learning about some of the projects that the Connors Group's all about. And there's some amazing stuff for us to talk about. But first and foremost, who is Jeff? And tell us a little about your company.
All right. Well, thanks, Audrey. Thanks, Jonathan. Connors Group is a management consulting firm, and we help companies improve productivity and efficiency. And that sounds a little bit nebulous, but it really is. It's at the core of what we do, and it's a little bit different by industry. So in retail, we help people improve customer service and improve the work and life balance of the team member and how they execute their work. In distribution, we help put the right people at the right place at the right time. Everything is digital and e-commerce now, so when you order something online, what do you expect? You expect it to be there the next day.
Next day.
That doesn't happen unless you have people staffed at the right time, at the right place, in the right job function.
And you make that
break it down.
Yeah.
So break it down, right? Let's just do retail customer service.
So retail
customers. What can we expect by getting engaged with you?
Well, we help companies understand that customer experience better and more intimately than they can with a lot of different technologies. We actually go in and study the customer experience and study the interplay between the customer and the employee and really try to figure out how to drive that better customer experience.
So, okay. So you do that through some technology?
We do. We have a combination of tools. We mm-hmm. have our own software that helps do labor modeling so that they can help schedule. There's a lot of higher end, more technical solutions like a Kronos or mm-hmm. like a Reflexis right. that help to do the staffing and scheduling. Well, those systems need data. What we do with our technology, LaborPro, is help collect that data, design that data, and make it specific to that unique location.
So break it down a little bit again. So
this is the third breakdown. Man, we're getting granular.
Well, no, I'm into this because this is a very big problem. This is a very big problem. The customer service piece is not learned through a manual. The customer service piece has to do with performance. So you're hitting on all those pieces. So if I'm working in a store, what kind of data are you going to extract?
So we're going to provide you with information about where your customer shops in the store, how long they shop in that location. Are they interacting with your team member? If they are interacting, who's initiating that interaction?
Wow. Jeez.
Is that you as the team member, or does the customer have to search for you?
So what's the date? Am I wearing an apparatus while you're collecting this data?
We are actually doing that with handheld devices. So we have handheld devices, much like an Apple, an iPhone or an Android device.
Okay.
And we're out there with customized studies for each different retailer. So your study is based upon your store, your scheduling, staff members. And then we also have a repository and a library of data from other retailers that we're able to compare and contrast you to say, this is where you are compared to the industry, and this is where we can get you.
Wow. And so you do individual assessments as a result of that, or do you do collective analysis?
We do both. So
you do both.
Absolutely.
So you can say, in this store, this is what's happening. This is the amount of lack of responsiveness or whatever it may be.
Absolutely. And traffic down in physical stores and brick and mortar is so far down right now. Retailers have to
make the most out of every second.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Right. It's not like just having 1,000 people walk through the door.
Exactly. So when we're working with these companies, we're talking about things that are important, not about cutting costs, but about driving revenue.
How
do we drive revenue? We provide a better customer experience. How do we drive revenue? We provide a better employee experience, which means less turnover, better retention. So we've got a happier employee, a more engaged employee, an enthusiastic employee that's at the right place at the right time to serve our customers.
So Jeff, that's pretty cool.
Do you think at some point there's going to be a turn in the market where, you know, we've gone so far to ordering everything online that we don't want to go in a store? And I'm kind of like that right now. I don't want to go into a store.
But Jonathan and I are allergic.
I'm allergic. But when I go into a store and someone engages me and gives me an experience and you feel like you're a valued customer and they're helpful.
That's called dating, Jonathan.
It's been so long, Audrey. It's been so long. but it makes you actually want to go to the store because you know you're going to get that human connection and feel like
Jonathan.
You're getting a better thing. I'm just saying. I'm a lonely man, Audrey.
I'm on aisle two.
Jonathan, there's a lot of us that want that customer service.
Right.
There are a lot of retailers out there. Go into the Apple Store.
Exactly. They roll right up to you.
They're annoying.
No, it used to be awful.
But everybody loves them. That's why they're in that store.
But think about
everybody wants that service, that experience.
Yeah. Well, think about the Apple Store like maybe 10 years ago. You'd roll in there. You didn't know where to go. They would just say, no, you have to go to the Genius Bar first. And you're like, what? Now they roll in. They have a little thing and they tap you in and they're all engaging. And it's like night and day.
Exactly.
As much as I hate going there because I don't like going there. But when you do, you know it's going to be okay.
You know it's going to be okay. And there, you know, every retailer is a little bit different.
Right.
If I'm shopping at a TJ Maxx, I don't expect that. But you know what I do expect? I expect to be able to go do my treasure hunt. And when it's time to get out of the store, I don't want to wait in a long line.
Right.
Exactly. So how do we make that happen?
But I would like someone to help me treasure hunt in a TJ Maxx.
Whoa, there you go.
That's a unique idea.
Right?
Oh, my goodness.
Jeff's writing that one down.
Concierge service at TJ Maxx.
That's what I'm saying. I'm serious.
We will bring that up to them.
It's like, I'm looking for this kind of purse and these kind of stockings. Don't make me go through all of that. And I know it's in there.
I know it's in there somewhere. You go find it.
I've not seen that in a TJ Maxx or a Ross, but I have seen it at a Century 21. And a Century 21 is essentially a luxury
Century 21.
A luxury discounter that's out of New York City.
I know. But you still do deep dives in Century 21. I'm a New Yorker.
Yeah, you absolutely
can. You get there really early. You do deep dives. I go there with my daughter, and it's like, see you in 3 hours.
But if you want to meet
Heather,
bring the
water.
She's one of the concierges, and she's fantastic.
Right?
Absolutely.
That's really cool.
Yes, they're wonderful. They're another client of ours. And
are they? Can you get me some stuff if I ask you?
We can introduce you to the right people.
Audrey's looking for the hookup,
I don't get down there often enough.
And they do have an online presence now.
Do they?
So they have a whole e-commerce.
No
yes,
way.
Yes, they do. Yes.
You have made my
day. Look at her.
Day.
Audrey is ecstatic right now.
My belt came from there. My shoes came from there.
Online?
No, unfortunately not.
You did
not.
The hunt. You no, did, I did the treasure hunt.
Actually, Heather found, she had a room set up for me with all of my sizes, everything that I was interested in.
No.
Yes.
Wow.
I want Heather.
Yes. Yeah. You have to.
You got to make that happen.
That's
I will make
awesome.
It only for Audrey, not for you, Jonathan.
Oh, geez.
He doesn't care. He doesn't care. He could wear the same thing every day.
Pretty much, yeah.
He's not as stylish as you.
He is.
No, near stylish as Audrey. Yeah.
Stylish is not part of the vocabulary. So that's way cool. So then you have a team of people that get excited by the content and by the domain expertise, I would imagine.
Absolutely. We really want to make companies better. And we want people to have a meaning to their job and some real fulfillment. And by fulfilling,
no pun intended.
Absolutely. Fulfilling, both on the store side and the e-commerce and distribution side.
So that is so exciting. And so it's fascinating because in many ways, if you're listening right now, we're having a chance to talk with Jeff at Connors Group. And your website is what?
www.connorsllc.com.
Okay. So if they can go there and check
yeah,
you out.
Check it out.
But what's so fascinating is that there is one movement that's going on in the economy of eradication of customer service, right? Eradication of first-level help, eradication of phones, et cetera.
Right.
But the demand for intimacy and the demand for responsiveness is at an all-time high.
Absolutely. And think about it. When you call somewhere,
mm-hmm.
how often do you get a human being?
I get scared.
I instantly hit zero on things just so
I can
get right to the operator.
Hoping you can find
get it.
Hoping, and sometimes
right.
they go, you picked the wrong
exactly.
number.
Exactly.
And then they hang up on you, and I cry. Yeah,
everyone wants that intimacy at a certain level, but they want it when they want it.
Exactly.
So how do we right. respond to the customer demand, regardless if it's in a retail store, if it's a distribution center, or even if it's a hospital?
Well,
we do work in hospitals.
So everything, well, you're in hospitals, too. Yeah, well, that makes sense. I mean, you're interacting with people.
Well, think
I mean,
about the patients as customers.
Right.
Think about the team members as being at the right place at the right time in the right mix.
How many people are you with all these different industries you're working with?
We're under 100, and we're growing every week.
I was going to say, and you're out in South Point right now.
We
right?
are in South Point.
Yeah.
We just opened our new office about 3 months
exactly.
ago.
Exactly, right.
And we just celebrated our 10th anniversary.
That is awesome. 10
wow.
years.
Did you have a party?
We did have a party.
Did you have, like, a high-touch concierge?
Well, we had a party at Nemecolon, so it was pretty high-touch.
There you go.
Yeah, we absolutely had a great time.
Wow.
We wanted to provide a great environment for our team members because we look at everything that they're doing. They're the face of our company, and they're out there serving our customers every day.
Gotcha.
And they deserve that type
so
of experience.
So what do you think? Can customer service be learned?
Absolutely. You have to understand, first and foremost, what your customer expects from you. Again, going back to a TJ Maxx or a Ross, there's a different expectation from a TJ Maxx or a Ross compared to a Victoria's Secret. Compared to a Nordstrom's,
yeah.
compared to a Tiffany's who we're working with.
Mm-hmm. You're working with Tiffany's? Can I put an order in?
Absolutely. I'm
Man,
going there
Audrey's
next week.
Got you all
Do
over
you get
the
a
place.
Discount?
No discounts. We can't ask for those.
Do you spend time in New York?
A lot.
Okay, good. I got to talk to Matt.
Audrey's offline. She's got a,
we're going
got a
offline.
List for you, Jeff.
Oh, boy.
She's
got
we're
a
going
out.
Offline.
Right. The hook is in.
So we just got about a minute or so left. I know. But you know the time. So
I'm just getting started.
But 2019's around the corner. You guys are growing. What's going to happen to you guys in 2019?
Yeah, you hiring? Yeah,
we
hiring?
Are. We actually were just doing interviews this afternoon, and we have we hire experienced folks, but we also have a great relationship with University of Pittsburgh, Penn State, and West Virginia. And we have a very robust co-op program that we're always rotating in new students, providing them with real life work experience. And then
that's awesome.
That's where we do most of our entry level hiring from, are those three
from
universities.
From all different universities?
Primarily those three, Pitt, Penn State, and West
yeah.
Virginia,
okay.
because they're
great.
Relatively local.
Right.
And each of the programs are very good in their own right, but
that's
they're
great.
A little bit different. So,
what a fascinating company right there in
South
Point. Yeah. I just think it's so amazing.
The best kept secret that we're trying to get out there, Jonathan.
That's why we have you on Tech Vibes.
That's great.
I want you guys back on here in 6 months.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
We're doing Tech Vibe checkups here. We're having our every guest today, we're saying we're coming back in 6 months.
It's not a colonoscopy.
Nothing.
You don't need those.
No. Way more pleasant than that.
In that case, we'll be back in 3 months.
Perfect. We'll do it that way.
It's just blood work.
Yeah, just blood work.
It's just routine blood work.
Not too painful.
And we'll give you a lollipop and we're done. It's all good.
All right.
Jeff, thanks so much. And what's on your website before we go?
www.connorsllc.com.
Perfectamundo. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
We're the Pittsburgh Technology Council, helping tech companies succeed since 1983. Learn more about us at pghtech.org. Hey, thank you so much for keeping your dial tuned right here to Tech Vibe Radio. Audrey, it is Friday night. It's our last segment of the show.
Wrapping it up?
I know, but like we have an old friend here.
Aren't
we
like on third base?
Kind of. Yeah. Around the home.
Mm-hmm. Ready for home run.
Exactly.
Right, home run.
We have Joel Reed here from OpenArc to help us.
Glad to be here.
Wrap up,
Jonathan.
The show. Yeah. It's been, what, 6-7 months since the last time you were on Tech Vibe.
Really?
Seems like just yesterday.
I know.
So what's new in the world of OpenArc? And tell everyone what OpenArc is.
OpenArc is an IT consulting company. We're in Wexford. We do IT staffing and software development.
And so who should call you? What kind of people should call you?
Anyone that's looking for great talent in our city.
Okay.
Or project work around mobile applications, virtual reality,
absolutely,
web applications.
To me, that is the
Are you seeing a demand in that?
For we are.
VR?
Yes. We're working
really?
With...
Really? So what are the kind of skill sets do people have?
To do the VR work, mm-hmm, you need to know 3D modeling. You need to know game programming techniques.
Well, Audrey.
Check, you got
it. I didn't know Audrey had all these skills.
Are you looking for a job, Audrey?
Maybe.
Check.
Get you out of working with Jonathan?
Check.
So, no, because people ask, what are the skills that you need to be able to work in VR and AR?
A lot of game programmers who maybe do that on the side or for a hobby are great.
They program
or
play?
A programmer.
Right, so yes. They program.
They know that kind of interaction model, and mm-hmm, they turn out to be great VR programmers.
Really? And so you're seeing a demand for that? Any particular verticals?
Manufacturing.
Really?
Utilities, yeah. There's a lot of innovative CIOs in our city who are
there
really
are.
Excited
Did you hear
about
that?
VR.
That's exactly true.
There are a couple
they
of
are.
CIOs that are innovative here.
They are.
When Joel and I were hanging out in the lobby before getting on air here, we were talking about what I love so much about OpenArc is their intersection with manufacturing, bringing virtual reality to manufacturing.
I know, that's what I was just asking.
I know.
And so I'm
just,
trying to understand.
Exactly.
I'm trying to understand what kinds of things are happening in manufacturing.
A lot of people are looking at it for safety-related training in manufacturing.
So simulation?
Yep.
Well, I did a demo last year at Tech 50. You had a demonstration out of virtual reality where
right,
I was like a utility
right,
worker
right,
and
right.
I climbed down a manhole. I turned a valve off.
It could have been a woman hole.
Yeah.
It could have been, but
right,
that had been a whole other event. So it was crazy. It was so much fun.
And I think you passed
it.
The test.
I did. I was able to turn the valve off.
You didn't die.
I didn't die. Exactly.
I know, so, that is sort of cool,
and
right?
It was just like I was doing it, like literally like you think you're going to
you
fall
feel
off.
Like you're really
you
gonna...
really got the feeling as if like you're in this environment,
mm-hmm,
and that if I backed up too much, I was going to fall off, but I was just going to bump into someone's beer who was standing behind me, you know, in
it's
the line
really
to
amazing.
Do it. So.
Well, that kind of immersive VR experience leads to great retention in the training
exactly.
experiences.
Yeah.
Yeah. So people are excited about that.
Yeah, and it leads to lower injury. Are you seeing the correlation between that?
Well, right now we're in a phase with a lot of these manufacturers of prototyping
mm-hmm,
these solutions,
okay,
picking scenarios that
right,
are very dangerous that they want to roll out to
right,
their plants.
Right.
So, yeah, that'll be the next step to get some
right,
feedback.
I would
that.
Imagine.
Yep.
So that's really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, and so when people get these skills, are they coming out of any particular university or college?
No, I think it's more has to do with the game background and
wow,
design.
Hmm.
Design experience around 3D modeling and so forth.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So,
that's cool.
Another technology that you're working on, you're really taking a leading edge in this, and you just actually published a pretty cool article in this in TQ Magazine all around progressive web apps.
Yes.
This really educated me. I didn't realize this was kind of going on. And it just seems like this is the next evolution as to how people are building sites right now.
That is exactly right, Jonathan.
So, Joel, tell our listeners
He's such
about
a good
progressive
student.
Web apps. I am. I study up. What can I say?
Well, a progressive web app is not an application built by any particular political party. Just to be clear.
Oh,
exactly. Okay.
Thanks. Thanks for straightening that out.
No politics.
I was worried about that.
The word progressive in that really means leveraging modern browser technology when it's available.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing that, you can deliver a mobile app experience with a web application technology.
It's bringing those two worlds together.
It is bringing them together, and it's pretty exciting. And I really think it's probably going to be the future of a lot of mobile application development, and we're just at the forefront of that, Jonathan,
you get to work on some really great stuff.
It is fun. We love talking to our customers, helping them figure out if that's the right fit or going native is right.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
And so here we are. We're talking to Joel Reed of OpenArc, and he's getting to work on a lot of cool things, getting to make things and things that many people who are listening we'll probably find it very fascinating to understand what's happening, particularly in manufacturing. What about your background? What about you? How did you wind up in doing what you're doing? Where did you get your skills? Are you a native Pittsburgher?
Yes, I was born here. I've lived here most of my life other than going to Penn State and living in Allentown for a few years. I went to Penn State for computer science and moved back to Pittsburgh to be around my family in Pittsburgh.
Right.
I just love the town.
Yeah, of course.
Love the city.
It's changed.
Yeah. And I worked at DDI for a long time.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
That brought me back here, a job there, moved up the ranks there. And right before 2008, joined a startup company. And you guys all know what happened in 2008 and the market crashed.
A little
there.
Disruption
we
going
read about
on.
It.
Yes,
yeah.
Read about it. Exactly.
So that startup didn't last too long. All the funding dried up and
right.
I was left in a kind of a odd position of not knowing what to do next. But it was a great impetus to start OpenArc with my partner, Bethany Simon.
Yeah.
So that was in 2008.
Little kick in the pants.
Yeah.
Right.
Something new. That market crashed. So.
Right.
And what's very unique about OpenArc is you said you have the two sides of the business. You have the talent side, which Bethany's part of, and then you have the technical side, which you lead up doing the virtual reality, you know, doing these progressive web apps and different technologies like that. So you kind of are able to counterbalance each other. You can bring the talent in to build these things, but also take that talent and put it onto customers so they can build their things for them out there.
Yeah.
Like,
I think that's a pretty unique mix.
Definitely.
In Pittsburgh, you usually find a company that's one or the other of those. But we thought from the beginning that it made great sense to bring those two practices or disciplines together. Gives us a great ability to scale up on the project side when we need to, and also on the technical, on the talent side, to be able to help assess people and just figure out who would be a good fit for those positions that people
have. So what are you thinking about for the future? Like, if you look ahead in 2019, what are you imagining some trends are in your business?
We are seeing great growth in the virtual reality space and mobile applications still. So we're looking to probably double that in the next
year. How many people do you have working on that side of your house?
We have about 30.
Wow.
On that side.
Wow.
So
you're keeping 30 people happy, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the secret?
And I think, like you're talking about, they love working on this.
Right. Stuff.
That's the fun part of being in a consulting company.
Right. So they get also some domain expertise too.
Yep. In manufacturing, particularly, we've got one whole team that just spends a lot of time understanding the physics behind those manufacturing things. And I don't get half of what they're talking about, but
what about
a lot of physics and math.
Are you seeing, what about robotics?
We're not particularly doing a ton in that space. Yeah. More virtual reality software. We do some hardware stuff with sensors. We just did a project with the University of Pittsburgh for an Apple iWatch project.
Oh, that's fun.
Nice.
Getting health data off the iWatch.
People are a little nervous about that.
Yeah.
Right? Hasn't there been a little bit of some fallout?
Yeah,
in
you
terms
have to be very careful with
privacy. I'm having a heart
and
attack.
Data security.
I'm having a heart. No, you're not really, but it says I am.
But it feels
right?
like
I mean,
it.
It'll be a little bit of time before it gets less wonky.
Yeah.
But I imagine that...
I think the iWatch 4 is going to go a long way in advancing that. They've put a lot of new sensors in there and so forth.
I know. Well, I can
I'm holding out for the 5 or the 6, and then I'll get one.
Not until then.
Not until then.
But I got to tell you, I have a great primary care physician, and he looks at all my Fitbit data.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
My sleep, my exercise, wants to know if I'm BSing him.
Okay. Yeah, he can say if it's what's legit or not.
And so, you know, I mean, it seems awesome to me.
Yeah. Yeah, having all that data is going to really help healthcare, I think.
Right.
And a lot of researchers at the University of Pittsburgh and Carnegie Mellon are looking into how to leverage that and build algorithms around that data.
Yeah. So you're approaching now, it's going to be 11 years in business with OpenArc. It's a pretty cool journey, a pretty cool trajectory, building the applications you build, solving the problems you solve, staffing the way you staff and everything like that. How do you see things moving ahead? Because we're getting close. I mean, first of all, 2018 is almost over.
I know.
Like, what the heck? I don't know where it went. And every time I get towards 19, I'm always like, what are you thinking about? I mean, obviously, I'm thinking progressive web apps are going to become even bigger in 2019. Is that, am I correct? What else are you thinking about? Is that one of the main drivers?
I mean, honestly, right now, my partner and I are focused on the end of the year.
Okay.
And how we can finish strong.
And I'm thinking way ahead of you, Joel, way ahead of you.
And we want to figure out how we can, share the benefits of this year with our employees.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's fun.
And so that's a fun part of the year for us to think about that. And
definitely.
We're in business planning. We are seeing a lot of growth on the software side next year. And
absolutely.
Excited about the kind that's of these awesome. New technologies. And really, truly, there are a lot of innovative CIOs who
want
to do this.
And so you do work outside of Pittsburgh, right? It's not just Pittsburgh?
Cleveland. We have a lot of work that comes out of the Cleveland area.
Good manufacturers out there that you're working with, I know.
That's right. We've done work in Texas and Arizona, New York, Chicago. On the software side.
How do people find out about you? Word of mouth?
Word of mouth. The web, we have a great marketing person, Eve Terzillo.
Uh-huh.
Does a great job.
Right.
With our marketing.
And
so,
that's great. So just pushing the word out and getting some traction. And
people seeing results.
Okay.
People from around the country will email us about VR. So
exactly. Exactly.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So people learn more about OpenArc. Where's the best place they can go and like nerd out about all your services?
www.openarc.net.
Just that simple. Nice. Joel Reed.
Let's go.
OpenArc.
Thank
stuff.
You, Joel.
Really excited for you guys in the coming year. Great
Thank
work
you,
today.
Guys.
Great stuff all the way around.
Audrey, always love talking to you.
We always love
Same
having
here.
You stop by. We're going to see
here.
You in 6 months.
Okay.
It's like your 6 month
it's
checkup.
Like a date. It's like a checkup.
Exactly. We're going to see how all this progressive web app stuff's coming along. So,
okay.
Just saying.
Anyhow. I'm going to bring my partner one of these times.
Tell Bethany to stop on by sometime.
I will do that.
She's always available here to come into Tech Vibe Radio. Come on. It'd be fun. Anyhow, another show under our belt, Audrey. I don't know what happens, but the time goes by way too fast.
It does. But we have downloads.
We do.
You can go to our website at PGH Tech or TechFuse, phtechfuse.com.
Absolutely.
And you can hear us, and we've had like thousands of interviews at this point.
Many thousands of interviews.
I know. It's sort of crazy.
After
we
11
have a
years.
To meet some,
exactly.
some crazy great people. So find out more about us at pghtech.org.
Simple as that. And have yourself a great weekend. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.